The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And I can honestly say I am with royalty in this episode. I am here with Vitaly Tettinger, the president of Champagne Tettinger, the third oldest champagne house. We are here in a beautiful downtown Toronto hotel getting set for the World Cup. Vitaly, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure for me to be with you and with everybody who will hear the podcast.
We're going to talk about you and the history of Tettinger. But actually, tell me what your day is going to be like. You guys and your champagne house have a very strong connection with the World Cup, correct?
Yes, this is true. I'm here to celebrate one of the first match of this World Cup, and it will be an interesting one, even if I understood that it could be even better with Italy instead of Bosnia for you in Toronto. But we are here to celebrate that with some of our friends here, partners, and to have good moments.
And for you guys, how long have you been working with FIFA and the World Cup?
Oh, for many years. I think we started in 2014 with the Brasilia World Cup, and since we have done each of them, so also the one for the women. This is a long journey with FIFA now.
And it makes sense because you guys are such a recognizable brand of champagne. So it does make sense for you guys to be working with the biggest global sporting event in the world.
I think that what makes sense for us is really that my brother, my father, and the family in general, they are super passionate about football for a while, and for them it was an excitement to be able to have this partnership, this strong relationship with FIFA. Today this is a little bit like the reward of what we have done for years.
Totally off topic. I don't know how you feel about this. I hate it when I see a sports team celebrating, be it F1, soccer, the World Series, and I see everyone spraying champagne. I'm like, that is a waste. Stop wasting the champagne. Open it correctly, put it in its proper stemware, and toast the fact that you won. It annoys me when I see it getting sprayed. That's a really good product that's getting wasted.
I understand why you are so disappointed, but in the same time, champagne is of course a wine, but this is also a symbol. Now, when you see that, you can think they feed the symbol of joy, which is champagne. So you have two ways to enjoy champagne.
Not to insult Prosecco, but if you're going to spray something, just get a mass-produced Prosecco. You know, certainly not a good sparkling rosé. All right, for people who don't know, could you tell us the history of Tettinger? I believe your great-grandfather, somewhere back in the First World War, I mean, I think it probably traces back even further than that, but some of the history of Tettinger and your family.
Yes, this is not such a long story, finally, because I think that we are here now for almost 100 years. I think those years have been very busy for the whole family. And it started with my great-grandfather when he was a soldier during the First World War. He was used to be placed close to Épernay. And the headquarters at that time of the French army was in a little castle in Pierry, just close to Épernay. And then after, when the war ended, he went to Cognac. He got married with a very beautiful lady and a rich one, which is part of the history too. And some years after, his brother-in-law gave him a call to just inform him that there was a beautiful castle for sale in Champagne, quite unique, with some vineyards around. And so my great-grandfather decided to come to visit, and it was this castle of La Marqueterie, close to Épernay, the one he was there during the war. So the destiny was giving a little bit of a kick to my great-grandfather's life. Then after he put his son, François Tétinger, who was quite young at that time, then François started to have many, many beautiful ideas, very innovative at that time, and really gave to Tétinger all the structure.
And I was reading that at that time, champagne, a lot of it tasted much different than it is today. Sweeter, bigger, more full-bodied. And it was your great-grandfather who decided to make a little bit of a stylistic change?
It was even François Tétinger. It's true that at that time, it was much more wine for guys, for men. And they were working more with Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier to obtain wine. They were much more well-bodied and everything. And François Tétinger was a very smart guy, very elegant, and very sensitive. And for him, it was important to tell about the history of champagne in his cuvée. And the history of champagne is also a tribute to the women during the period of the King of France, and particularly Louis the 15th, if I have tell right. And at that time, the women, they were bringing champagne to give to the men quite enjoyment and also excitement, and they were taking of course advantage of that. So he decided to give to his cuvée more femininity, more delicacy, using the Chardonnay. He has been at the origin of this choice, which is for us today an asset.
It was funny reading about that, because I always in my brain had it that champagne was always one way in terms of body and sweetness and the overall structure. And it was dumb of me to think of that. The fact that, of course, champagne would be like any other dry wine, that it evolves in terms of style and tastes over, you know, over decades and over a century.
Of course. And even today, what is very interesting is that some of the houses, they have kept this historic style, but some others just did the same that we did. They explored, and today you have so many shades in champagne, which proved that this is a wine, and in all the wine region you can have those differences between the houses, the properties, the terroirs. So this is the same in champagne.
And I think that's important for people to know, is that it's not monolithic. It's not, oh, it's champagne, so it's going to taste one way. Mm. What Paul Roget is going to be different than what you are.
And of course.
I think that's important for people to remember. Mm. What about in the Second World War? I'm always fascinated talking to people that have owned, you know, in Bordeaux, Bergen, really anywhere, certainly in France, just the impact that the Second World War had on you and on Champagne in general.
The Second World War had an immediate impact in the family, which is that my great uncle, Michel Tétinger, the son of Pierre Tétinger, the founder of Tétinger, died during the first day of the war, because he was young man, 20 years, just having finished Polytechnic, which is a high school, very high school, high level school in terms of army. And finally, he died close to Troyes, at Saint-Parotère, to fight against the German, to avoid them to enter into Troyes. And he sacrificed himself totally. And for the family, it has been a shock, you can imagine. Then François Tétinger, at that time, he was already in the house. And he was he was young. He was also a kind of foolish guy and very idealistic one. And we all can follow that. And he was trying always to make in sort that the champagne, which was given to the German people, was a bad one, mm-hmm. with water, with things like that. And one day he has been taken by the German people, and my great-grandfather has been advised, because at that time he was the president of Parisian Assembly. He made everything to save François Tétinger to avoid to lose another son during the war. So it has been for the family a very tricky moment, and they all was playing their part with what they are, with what they were, and for the Champagne House, it has been like a pause, because during the war it was everything was complicating. You had to deal with many realities, survive, occupation, everything. So it was quite tricky, as you can imagine.
Speaking of tricky, let's flash forward about 60 years when I read about you and you working with Tessenger, and one of the big stories was always around 2006, 2007, about your father buying back Tessenger. And I'm wondering how difficult a journey was that for your father and your family at that time period?
It has been very hard, very tough for my father. Me, I was not at that time in the company. I was working much more in art, what I studied before. And my father just was so disappointed, so sad even, that the rest of the family didn't want to keep this group as it was, because there were no reason to sell. And for him, it was like a shame, a little shame compared to what have done his uncles and his father. He really felt that it was not at the level of the history. And my father is somebody who is very attached to the history, to also the duty. The duty to fight for the country, the duty to fight for the territory, the duty to fight also for the employees of the Champagne Company. So for him, it has been quite something hard. At that time, he decided secretly to fight to be able to rebuy the company. But his great uncle was not in favor of this solution at all. So it was really secret. And for 1 year, it has been like a movie, because it was very sensitive. It was my father has done that with his heart, without trying to appear, without trying to make something which is about the appearances. But for him, it was important to build something strong and sustainable.
Why did people not want him to rebuy it? Why did it had to be sold in the first place?
I don't know, but I suppose that at that time, my great grand-uncle Claude Tétinger, who had been the president for many years of the Champagne Tétinger, for him, it was he was old first. And I think that when you become old, you don't have the same,
right.
you have
same
the
strength.
Fear. I think you have the fear to let it go to somebody else who will change, who will, and I think he was not in a normal spirit. When you are responsible, you are fighting for your company. When you are getting older, you're afraid. And maybe also because my father was seen like a commercial guy, somebody who was very, and he is like that, who was very, who has a kind of eccentricity. I think that today he proved that this eccentricity is more about having a strong personality. Mm-hmm.
Did you always know that eventually you would be working for the family?
Never.
Never? Okay. So growing up, you did not have a desire to be in all things Champagne?
No, because my family, they were turned about many other things, art, music, many things, and it was really a very open-minded education. So never they forced me to do something, and basically I was following what I really loved at that time. But when my father fight, when I have seen that, when I also realized that it was part of my own history, it turned a little bit my way to consider the things. And when he managed to buy back the company, it has been at once super clear in my head that it made no sense to continue to go on my way very alone and on myself.
Yeah, just the pull of family is incredibly, incredibly strong. Okay, so you join the company, you join Tessenger somewhere in 2007. What was 2007 to 2020 like for you in terms of your growth and learning about the company and Champagne? Because I believe you became president in 2020.
Yeah.
So what were those 13 years like leading up to that?
It has been very busy. I think that we put an energy to buy back this house because factually my father signed in July 2006, but after every day was a day to buy back the company. So we had super high objectives in terms of everything, and we had at that time no money to go on. So we had to be very efficient, and we were massively working, but we learned also we learned our job in very good condition because we were exposed. No, it has been a journey, and my father has been also very nice because he trusted us very very quickly, and he gave us some responsibility, and he was really following our advice. So those 15 years with him were great, with some crises, also a very big one in 2008, 2009. It has been kind of a shock after 2007, totally fantastic. But we went through that together, and it each time it was a kind of a big lesson. Finally, in 2020, I felt totally ready and in good condition, with serenity.
Also, it speaks to just how much your father loves and trusts you, because for him to give up power, for him to trust you with part of the company, something that he fought his whole life to try to keep, you know, says a lot about his relationship with you guys. Your first year, you then had to deal with COVID. That yeah. could not have been fun.
But I have to add something on what you told previously. This is that my father was also very confident because I'm not alone. I'm with my brother Clovis, and we also have a fantastic team close to us. I think that the project we proposed to him, because he gave us also the freedom to reinvent the governance of Champagne Tétanger, the project was also to be both of us, my brother, the other general manager with Damien Le Sieur, much more orientated on the production and the technical, logical things about champagne. So the three of us, we complement each other perfectly. And I think that if he is so confident, this is for that. And this is also part of the answer of the COVID. Because, of course, 3 months after I took the presidency of Champagne, we were faced, we had the COVID just in front of us. We deal with that with also a lot of serenity, and we took also the opportunity of that to reinvent, to reorganize everything into the Champagne House. So it gave us a lot of time to make a little turn in the back and see what we have done and what we would love to avoid in the future, and after to imagine what would be the plan.
What are some of the changes? If I was coming to Tétanger in 2009 versus now in 2026, whether it's, you know, difference in terms of how it's made or marketed or things like that, what would be some of the changes in Tétanger over, say, the last 20 years?
I think that you will probably not notice major changes because our volunteer is not to switch totally.
Right.
So this is the first thing. And what was built before was super important as being part of foundation of the house. But after, to follow this idea of UNESCO and to embellish also the patrimony of Tétanger, we renovate. We have renovated the all locations that Tétanger own, except the castle of La Marqueterie, and we really took the time to imagine a project which is even more faithful to what we are, to express the taste for culture, the taste for gastronomy, for art, to also put all the people that are working at the first place of the company, to be able also to welcome the visitors and give them an experience which is unique and which looks like Tétanger. So I think you will feel even better what we are. And after, for me and for the team, what was important, it was to really Project Etanger in a super high level of the houses of Champagne. So in each part of the company to improve and to reach the best level. And this work has been very very important, because finally it has changed probably all the way we were doing things. The teams, they are not working in the same way together. We everything is clear, everything is organized, everything is structured. And today, this is a pleasure to work like that.
All those renovations and everything, how much of the impact of your training before you got in Tetzinger, working in the arts, your artistic training and background, graphic arts and all of that, how much did that impact?
I think tremendously, because I think this is also the good advantage from the fact that I studied art. This is something which is for me obvious. I think somebody who is working mathematics for many years, after things, they are more easy when they have some problem to solve. They are about figures. For me, this is the same with everything which is about aesthetism. I really followed everything in the renovation. I made all every single choices. So today, what it brings something which is personal.
Yeah.
And being a family, for me, it was very important. I didn't want to make a place which is about decoration. And for me, it was important to give something which is like personal. So today, you have something which looks like not only me, but my way to translate what is the family mood. This is something which was important to me. The most funny thing is, my father at the beginning wanted to be involved in the project, but it was not possible because too many meetings, too many decisions, and we were never together. So finally, I did it by myself, and he came and discovered it, like everybody, the day we reopened the site. And he has been super happy. So it means also that those 15 years together working, for me, absorbing what was important to him, and also my sensitivity to art, which is coming from him also, was also efficient in a way.
That must have felt great. That must have felt great for you when your father saw it all and just his reaction.
I loved it, because, of course, you always ask yourself, Is it right? Is it you can do things in many, many ways. So, no, I have been super happy, and today this is also something which reinforced the trust we can have, and not only his trust on me, but my trust in him.
We should talk a little bit about the Champagne, what's available, the portfolio that's available here in Canada. I imagine the Brut Reserve and the Rosé. Would those be the two main ones that we can find here in Canada?
I think you can also find the Comte de Champagne, Blanc mm-hmm. de Blanc, and the vintage you must have is...
I think 2008, I think, is the one that we have.
We did some other vintage, mm-hmm. but I think you can also have 2000. I think the vintage we are currently serving on the market are the 2014. Maybe you're late, but...
And what should people know about the Grand Cru Blanc de Blanc?
This is really one of the pillar of the expression in wine of Tétanger. We talked together about the passion for the Chardonnay of François Tétanger, and this wine is really a tribute to the Chardonnay. So at this time, he decided to create a wine which was the best you can do to express the Chardonnay. So he has chosen some cru, which are only Grand Cru, from the Côte des Blancs, which is the best place in Champagne for the Chardonnay. He has chosen five villages. They have some characteristics. They are very very frank. They complete each other. The other ingredient, which is super important, is that in addition to this blending, we will let the wine aging in the cellar for more than 10 years, which is an asset, fantastic asset for this wine. We put a little part of the cru from Chouilly, which is much more rich in oak barrels from 1 year, 2 year, and 3 year, and just for some months. So you have something which is very, very light as a taste, but which gives this complexity, probably this toastiness, and many other secrets, but I will keep it for myself.
Absolutely. Also, I mean, just keeping it for over 10 years, you're right, the toastiness, the richness, the depth and power, when you allow it to sit for that long, it's, for anyone who hasn't tried, old champagne is such a different taste profile when you can let something sit for over for over 10 years. Moving off champagne for a second, the importance for you for what Tessenger does in terms of charity work. I've heard about, you know, that you guys, that you established a charitable foundation a while ago.
For me, it was very important to be able to share with people that are not necessarily our customers what is at the origin of our passion for champagne and what is also very important to us being part of this world. I observed with my own children, but with the one I see every day, that more and more they are fascinated by what are doing the other children. They are in imitation all the time with their phone. They are trying to be the same than the other one. And for me, this is a little bit a shame, because more and more the culture is poor. More and more you have no emotion. More and more they look like the same. You can go in a school in France, at least, and if you are looking for your boy, you can be surprised, because they are all the same. For me, what is important for the future is to be able to cultivate your own difference, and to find your difference, you have to be connected to your emotion. And through art, I think there is a very good way to discover yourself. So today we decided three years ago to create a fund which is called Philanthropic Ars Nova. And the aim of this fund is to share with people that don't have access the culture. And we have three axes. We have the gastronomy. We have everything about artwork, and also everything about, I don't know how you tell that, but opera, dance,
theater.
And everything, theater, but the more lively expression of art.
Right.
So we have program of excellence. They are at the maximum level of quality and emotion. And we share those programs through different other programs with people. So this is like create a journey for them to be able to enjoy those arts.
And that's important. The arts need to be funded, and it can be difficult. Mm. And maybe I'm biased because I have a theater degree. My university days was more in theater. All right, as we end this, if France was to win the World Cup, what would be the bottle you would open if France wins the World Cup?
Oh, this is a good question, but I think that if they reach this level of excellence, probably I will open the bottle which is at the top of the excellency of the house, and which represents also this work into the time. So I think the biggest bottle we can have in Comte de Champagne, maybe a Mathusalem of Comte de Champagne, the Blanc de Blanc.
Vidali, thank you so much for doing the pod today. I was at an event yesterday. I mean, just you guys put on just an incredible show. The Rosé and the Brut were drinking beautifully. All the best. And again, congratulations on you, on your success and your family's success, and on your connection with it. I wish you nothing but future success. And also, good luck navigating the city of Toronto with the World Cup going on. I wish you all the best in that as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.